Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for your word. And thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that is in our midst. We ask you, Lord, that as we go to your word, Lord, you quicken our minds and help us to receive and understand, Lord, your word that may work in us powerfully as, Lord, you send it for, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, today we are starting a new series on prayer. And the title is The Mystery of Prayer. It sounds a strange name, but you will understand today why I call it mystery. First of all, you know, we need to understand about prayer, because everybody talks about it, but really, you know, if I ask here, you know, how many hours do you spend praying every day? I don't know how many hands are going to go up to let me know, and I don't want to see it. I don't want to embarrass you, because I know that unfortunately, you know, people talk about prayer more than doing it. And very often they are not really happy about their prayer life, believers. And the reason for that is a very simple one, that there is not really the proper understanding about what prayer is, how to do it, and how to have it effectively working in us to get results. If people will get results from what they do, they will spend more time in it. But since they don't get results, then the conclusion is, well, you know, what's the difference? Now, that is a sad type of a situation, because, you know, we are going to see how important, instead, prayer is. You know, to start with, okay, what I want to achieve in this series is that to give you a revelation, a new revelation about prayer, so that you can change the way you look at it completely. And you start applying it. You start using it. This is the most powerful unused weapons that God has given us. And we only have that weapons. Now, to start with, I'm going to give you some principles or some concepts for you to understand. The first concept is that prayer is a universal instinct. And I want to define some of the terms I'm using it. If you look instinct in the dictionary, you will see that it says it's a way of behaving, thinking, or feeling that is not learned. Another definition is a natural tendency that makes you want to act in a particular way. Another definition is something you know without learning it or thinking about it. You would say in a simpler way, it's a natural ability. But I like it to define in a different way. It's a God-designed ability. He designed us so that it's natural, it's there. We don't need to learn it. It's instinctive things that we do. If we want or not, when some things are happening. When our spirit is stirred. Now, you know, everything that God does has a purpose. It's not that he does things random. He's an orderly God. He organized everything according to his plan. And if we put prayer inside ourselves in a way that we do it without even learning, he must have a reason for that. He must have a purpose. You know, men are funny. You know, they have some ideas, and sometimes they look at things and they reason about stuff. And they come to the wrong conclusion because they had the wrong information. Because they don't understand things. You know, even in the medical profession, there was a time in which they say, you know, appendix and tonsils are really unnecessary, as something that remains from evolution that we don't need anymore. And they were wrong. Because they have a purpose there, and after years they found out that they were wrong. God knows what he's doing. Amen. Better than we do. Amen. Our information is always limited. God's information is unlimited. Amen. Because we have an unlimited God that knows everything, that designed everything, that organized everything, that everything has a purpose, and he put it there because he wants it there. Are you still with me? Yes. Okay, so universal instinct. The point is, it's really so universal. The question is, can animals pray? No. I mean, you know, you say, well, you know, animal can think. That's not true. You see, the studies show that animals can have emotions like we do. Animal can think and solve problems as we do. Okay? Not only that, but animals can even communicate with each other and a fellowship with other animals, even with other species. Dogs can communicate with you, and if they receive your communication. God has feelings the way you do, because if you leave them alone, they miss you. The only difference between us and them is that they cannot pray. Have you ever seen a dog praying or any other animal praying? No. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to explain to you that this is something that is special about us. And the reason why it's there is because God has designed us so that we can have fellowship with him. Amen. We are spiritual beings. And a spiritual being, we can communicate and interact on a spiritual level. Prayer is an expression of the human spirit. It's not an expression of your human mind. When it's only limited to your human mind, there is a problem in your prayer. You see, even among the non-religious, I was reading some statistics. Even they end up praying when they are in critical situation. Even people that are atheistic or don't believe in God, they end up praying, and sometimes they change their mind because they find out that their logic wasn't logic. Or wasn't logical. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay. So, man is a spiritual being. That's the starting point. Okay? That's where we start. Adam was created by God to have fellowship with God. He is the highest being created by God. Okay. See, people don't believe in God. It's just a rebellion against the rule. And it's a deception in their own mind that is created. I'm not going to go into that. Once I was one, but there are reasons for that. Okay? So, mind is a spiritual being. You see, why people that don't even believe in God, when they are in crisis, pray? Okay? Well, first of all, because it's an instinct. Okay? So this is a natural thing to do. But really, you see, what happens then, prayer is a spiritual activity. It's a spiritual expression of our spirit. When they are in a critical situation, what happens is their spirit is stirred. There, you see, they're awakened. Generally, their spirit is sleeping. It's taking a nap. It's just not there completely. So they have to, at the moment when it wakes up, then they start to push through what is naturally there and gets through the resistance that we generally have about doing something that God has designed us to do. So where are you going to get? Well, so are you following me up to now? Okay, this is important. I'm creating the basis. We are starting. See, this is why I'm talking, you know, prayer is the mystery of prayer. Okay, we're going to see and dealing with that just in a minute. You see, prayer is a spiritual activity. Spiritual activities are difficult to understand. We have difficulty in understanding spiritual things. It's not at the mental human level to understand spiritual things. And so we need to get it at a level that is different from our mental level. All right. So, prayer is communication, if you want, or fellowship in the spirit world. Every human being, no matter what they're coming from, what race, nation, religion, even primitive tribes, they all pray. That's why I was said it's universal. Okay, so that's a starting point. This is because we all have that built-in desire or action or, you know, expression of our spirit that comes out to communicate at a level that is different from the physical, emotional, and mental level and goes into a spiritual dimension. The people that refuse, rationalists, that refuse to believe in the spiritual dimension, evidently cannot understand prayer because prayer is at a different level. Anybody that tries to figure out things in their mind only cannot understand prayer. Because it doesn't make sense to them if they do not understand, and they can, you know, we don't understand very much about the spiritual level. We know about God, we know about things. The only thing we get is because we are informed by the Bible or by revelation. I mean, people can have different ideas. There are different religions around. They pray too, but they pray to something else. So you see, they're still in the spiritual dimension, but is not the same dimension that we pray. Are you following me? Okay. See, we have to start understanding certain things. And we can go to the Bible because we cannot, by our own reasoning, figure out about prayer properly. We had to go to what is revealed before by God about himself and about the way we were made, the purpose we were made, and how we operate and how we interact with him. You're still there? Good. In John chapter 4, verse 23, it says, but the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So you see, he's talking about something that happened in a spiritual level. If you exclude the spiritual level from reality, then you exclude whole a dimension of reality that is probably much more important than the physical reality that we see, hear, smell, and do, and touch, and whatever things, you know, the things of this physical world. We cannot do that with our mind and get anywhere in understanding what's happening around us. Because this physical reality is created and dependent on the spiritual reality. Everything that happens down here in the physical, there is something happening in the spirit world that is parallel to what's happening in the physical. Now, you see, what I want as a result of this series, for us to start understanding some things, not at the mind level. So I cannot make you understand these things just by talking about them, even if I may have a revelation about them. The only way to grasp what I'm talking about is that you get revelation from the time triggering into you. So it cannot just happen because you listen to something logically. It has to be spiritually received. Hallelujah. So, worshippers, the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We are going to see the element that this scripture talks about in detail at different places in different ways. But we need to understand and grasp the content here, because this is what is going to make the difference. We need to really connect to the spiritual reality where prayer operates on, and not just what we do physically. What we do physically should be just a manifestation of what happens spiritually into us. If you remove the spiritual understanding about it, then your prayer is going to be powerless. There's going to be no impact on what you are doing, because you are not disconnected from what there is only a form of godliness, but the power of it is gone, because it's a spiritual power. Okay. Prayer then is communication and fellowship with God. And we were designed. God made us in such a way so that we can pray, that we can communicate with him, that we can interact with him, that we can talk with him, that he can talk to us, that we can have a communication with us and a fellowship with him, because that's what he wants. Amen. So, let's go back to the title of the series, yeah, Prayer, the Mystery of Prayer. Prayer is a mystery. What is a mystery? If you look at the definition, the dictionary says it's something that is difficult or impossible to understand or to explain. That means it's something that go beyond our logic. Okay? But the word says very clearly, and if you go to the word 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, says, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor ever entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, this was true in the Old Testament. Today, it's not true. But that shows the condition of us relating to prayer. Men, eyes are not seen, nor ear heard, not as entered into the heart of man the ability to understand things that are spiritual. That's what he's saying. This is true if you are spiritually dead. Things have changed from the Old Testament because we have been born again. Amen. So that doesn't apply to us anymore. And if we look at that from the Old Testament point of view, and we stick at our logical thinking, there is no way that we can understand spiritual things. But, and if you read the verse 10, says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So you see, the Spirit is the one that can understand these things. And it can explain it to us, has been revealed to us. Well, we need to get revelation. It's not just logic, it's revelation. Revelation is not that you get 1 + 1 make 2, you know, and you can logically do that. It doesn't work that way. You just either see it or you don't see it. It's from your spirit. And you are not in control of your spirit. You are disconnected from there, even if you are born again. But your spirit can get it and can communicate it to us better. For what man knows, verse 11, the things of man except the spirit of man which is within him. See, not his mind. See, you, what is saying here? That you cannot even know yourself or what's going on inside you. Because you really don't know your motives many times, why you do the things you do. And so you see, it's not through the mind. You see, the spirit of man can only understand. It's your spirit that knows why you do the things. Okay? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So you see, it's God, only the Spirit of God knows the things of God. But, okay, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. That means the Holy Spirit. So you see, we have received that, and because we have received that, our spirit has received that as well. So we have inside information from him. And it's not our ideas, it's not our logic, it's not our experience. It's his understanding. It's the Holy Spirit understanding that we receive when we receive the Holy Spirit inside us, in our spirit. And the connection between our spirit and our heart is such that not everything gets transferred there. And we need that transfer to take place. Amen. Hallelujah. So that we may know, you see, but we have received not the spirit of the world, that the one you had before, but the Spirit is from God, that we may know the things that have been given freely to us by God. So you see, this is the way we are going to know the things we got from God. That's why we're going to see, prayer is something spiritual. Our spirit in itself doesn't have the information, doesn't have the ability to understand those things, because our heart is controlled by the things we learn by our senses. The only way to change that is to get information by revelation. And the Bible was written by revelation, so were people that received it from God and put it down on paper. But even when it's put down on paper, you can get people with a PhD in theology that they are not born again. That means that the thing hasn't worked for them. Why hasn't worked for them? Because they did not receive it in their spirit.
That's right.
You see, to receive it in the spirit, you had to be born again. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see the spiritual dimension. You cannot be what is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. So as to be born from the spirit, to be able to connect with that reality, is that reality that is more important than the physical reality we are in.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Are you still with me?
Yes.
So you see, that's why it's a mystery. Because it's a mystery to everybody, and even to understand to a degree, because if we would understand it, we would use it better. Okay? So we need revelation about that, and revelation is going to enable us to operate it on a completely different level, because we are going to operate it at the level of knowledge. Instead of on a level of mind. Okay? All right, let me continue here. I haven't finished that. More scripture. You know, these things also we speak not on word of man or wisdom with teachers, but man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So this is what we had to start to do. We need spiritual revelation and discernment. Otherwise, we are not going to be only a form of godliness, but not the power of, because this is a spiritual power. The physical power, the mental power, is nothing compared to the spiritual power. The spiritual power we're talking about is God's power, is the ability to, for anything is possible by in the physical when God is operating. Hallelujah. He can do a miracle in a second that no one can understand. How can understand the miracle? Tell me. There is no way to understand the miracle. It's just the only thing you can say, God did it.
Amen.
I mean, there are things happening. A miracle is something that happens instantaneously. It's not just, if there is a healing, it's not just a progressive healing. A miracle is boom, and, a arm grows in a person. How can you explain that? That's right. God did it. Praise the Lord. So that's why I say it's a mystery. And for us, you see, what God wants to do, because he has given us his spirit so that we may understand the thing of him, then he wants to reveal to us the mysteries that are there in the spirit world so that we can operate at the level in which Adam operated before he fell.
Amen.
And as we grow into that understanding, is as we receive revelation, not just mental, we can read the Bible and just know the scriptures. And that's a good point to start. Because they had to match up there too. But it's not just there, it's the revelation behind the word that releases the power. You see, the power is included in the word, but to release it, to have it operating through you, you had to get revelation. Right? This is why, you know, you and me may have read the Bible for the last 40 years. And you read the scripture, and you get the revelation suddenly. It says, you know, I knew that, but I didn't know it. I mean, I can, you know, the thing is, the interesting thing, you know, that gets worse all the time, or better if you want, you know, is speed up all the time, because the more you know, and the more you get. This is God's principles. Okay? Who has little, even the little taken away, but who has much, much more is going to be given. So this is a God's principle. You know, the more you have, the more revelation you have, the more you understand, and the more, you know, you read the Bible, you cannot go very far because, you know, boom, everything pops up to you, and everything has a new understanding, and everything is exciting and powerful. Amen. Are you following me?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this is what I want to happen. I want to happen as we go through this and we look at some of the things that the Bible says that we, I'm going to point out some principle, but I want you to meditate, to think, to pray about it so that, you know, you get personal revelation because revelation is personal. You cannot get it in general. This is something that you get yourself. And then when you got it, you can try to explain it to somebody else, but it's not explainable. You can just talk around it. Or may you draw some conclusion and, you know, extract some principles. And those are fine. And they can help you to directing you in the right direction so that you can start opening up. And it flows from your spirit that knew it anyway, because it was there, to your heart and to your mind. Because only when it gets to your mind that is going to be effective. Okay. So what I want to do is to pray a prayer. And I'd like you to pray that prayer for all the series that we are going to be, you know, do it daily to open up to the Spirit of God. And it's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and following. I'm going to read it to you and stress some things out of it, you know. Verse 17 says, "Let the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation." Okay, so let's say it together.
Give me
the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You see, that's the thing that has to happen. That's the thing you had to receive. Okay? So that's the thing you are going to pray about. See, prayer works when it's done properly. And so you start praying that prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians, okay, and pray it for yourself. Just change the thing so that it applies to yourself instead of say you, say I, or whatever. But just to keep praying it and open up. Expect to get the answer. Now, as we are going to deal with different principles, when you're going to pray this prayer, you're going to apply maybe with little changes. According to maybe the understanding that you got, according to the new revelation that you got. And as time goes by, it should become more and more effective. Amen. So I'm not saying just pray it today or pray for the next week. We are going to pray it until we finish the series. And if you want, you can continue even after, because I wouldn't hurt you. Amen. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Okay. So, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Okay. That the eyes of your understanding. You see, the eyes of your understanding has to do with your mind. See, you have to understand something in a logical way to be able to use it. Okay. Being enlightened. See, see how you get the eye of understanding is the There is enlightening of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit puts light so that you can see what is there that before was darkness. So you see, the eyes of your understanding, you are going to get, the Holy Spirit is going to boost from your spirit to your mind that understanding that happens in a second. And you say, oh yes, oh yeah, yes, that's what it means. And you say, what does it mean? I can't explain it, but I know it. Hello? All right. So, that you may know, number one, what is the hope of his calling? That's a big revelation, but, you know, really to see what the end of the story is, big thing. Number two, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint? See, if it talks about inheritance, means, you know, who gets the inheritance?
Us.
To get an inheritance, what has to happen? You know, who gets the inheritance? The children.
Yeah.
So you had to come into the realization, the understanding, the revelation of your sonship with respect to God.
Amen.
So as you get that more and more, then you are going to actually see the aspect. See, do we understand all the glory of the inheritance that is expecting us? Hardly. Because if we really would have the understanding, we'd be already moving in that glory.
Yeah.
You can't really understand that. Not, if you don't understand that, you cannot really experience it. If you don't experience it, that really means simply that you really don't understand it. Okay? An inheritance of the saints. So you need to really be born again and really come into that dimension of being born again to the full understanding of what the implications are. Okay. So, and three, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working that works in Jesus. And he worked in the working, his mighty power that he worked in Christ. And that is the thing. That's the thing. Understanding the power that is available to us.
Amen.
That you are going to be, you know, how is the power going to be released? Anybody? You can try.
By the Spirit of God.
Yeah, but it's not by this. How this? When the power is going to be released? How is the power is going to be released? Well, when we pray, you see, prayer is the thing that releases the power. Okay, that's the thing. Because as we understand prayer, prayer should be releasing the power of God. That's why we pray. That's why, you see, that's where we come in contact. Why? Because we come in contact with the source of the power.
Amen.
We need to come in. You see, it's not our power.
No.
It's his power.
Amen.
And if it's his power, if you are not connected with him, he's not going to be able to flow through us.
Amen.
Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Okay, so just says, so the working, you know, the power worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of heavenly places, you know, so far above all principalities and powers and dominions and every name that is named on this age and also in the age which is to come. So really, you know, really to understand, to full understanding, or the degree of this power which works in us. We are not there, weaklings, unable to do anything, beaten around by the devil. We have a power that is above all the power of all the principalities and power there, able to be released through us When we got the understanding, when we got really the revelation of what we really have. The place we are in today is nothing else than the revelation we have today. Are you following me?
Yes.
So, to be in a different place, you need new revelation. And it's not something that is different from what was you read before. The Bible is always the same. It's not that we are adding things to the Bible. We are just understanding and receiving what is already there, what has been there all the time, and what we finally understand and what we finally really appreciate. I mean, the Bible is read by all the denomination, all the people that, any traditional denomination, I read the Bible. But, were they filled with the Holy Spirit? Were they able, they had the power working in them? Hardly.
Exactly.
Hardly. Exactly. By mistake sometime, because they pushed the right button. Hello? The Bible is the same, more or less. But the power is different. And where is that coming from? Let's say it together, revelation. Revelation. Okay. All right. So, I'm asking you just to make this commitment, just to pray that prayer every day, expecting to get revelation, expecting to get the spirit of wisdom and revelation working through you. Okay. So, gee, time goes fast when we have fun, huh? It's already. Well, I don't know. Praise the Lord. Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. I want to just leave you with one idea so that you can start thinking about it. Okay? Throughout the week. Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. But most of the time he spent in prayers was by himself. When he prayed by himself, he prayed hours, sometimes through the whole night, prayed a long time. When he prayed in public, a little short prayer. And sometimes he didn't even pray. We have to understand why that is so. We have to understand that if he did it that way, he was a bit more advanced than we are, isn't he? Wasn't he? So we could learn something from him. He was our example. He was the one that really had the full understanding why? Because he demonstrated that. He had the manifestation of the full understanding. He could do the things that the Bible said you could do. So he knew. If you want to learn something, we have to look at him and say, okay, if he did it, maybe we should do it too. So we are going to really next week talk about this aspect. Okay, why, how he did it, so that we can do it the same. Because that, the example... I'm going to share this next week. Maybe. Well, when is the right time? Praise the Lord. We should close in prayer. You get anything today?
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for your Holy Spirit, who guides us into all truth by opening up the scriptures to us so that we can know what they mean and how to apply them to our lives. So we thank you for the truth and the power that is in your word to enable us to walk as your children, to grow into the full stature of Christ through your word, your revelation, and your Holy Spirit working in us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.